It's great to be in church. If you're new here, my name's Evan. I'm the lead pastor here at Northgate. And we really just want to create a space for people to come take part with us in journeying towards Jesus. We really believe that Jesus changes lives. He sets people free. He's the hope for this world. He is the source that gives us hope for eternity. And we just really believe in him, believe that he meets us. And so welcome here. We also believe that he meets you where you're at. Some people have been part of this church for 100 years, almost actually. Some people have been part of this church for 100 seconds. And for all of you, Jesus is saying, hey, come a little closer. I'm drawing you in. I've got something more. I am endless. You can't explore all of me. Come and learn me and let me reveal you to yourself as well. So it's great to just get to do that together. And we've gone to a third service. Hello? Come on. By the way, we're third service, and we'll continue to grow that service, and we need some help. We need people on team and jumping in with us and taking part on that. And so jump in and sign yourself up on team online. It would be awesome to have you come and help. But we've called this series Three's a Crowd. We're starting off the year with this idea that three's a crowd because two is company. When we are two services, you know, it's good. We've got some people around, but two is company. Three, that's a crowd. You know, we got people around. We're sort of bursting at the seams. We've got a lot of people in the room even right now. But last week through the Sunday, we had close to 700 people in church. Isn't that awesome? It's crazy. So we'll see where things go, and a lot of that's just about excitement in the beginning of the year. But one way or another, we're seeing growth. We're seeing God moving in new ways. We're seeing him bring new people here. Maybe you're one of those today. You're here, and you're just sort of thinking, I've heard something about Northgate, or I've heard something about Jesus. Something is going on here, and I just want to look. I just want to have a peek and see what's happening. I want to tell you that as you do that, just keep looking, keep watching. You'll see Jesus show up in your life and do something really special. So we're now a crowd. We've become a crowd of people, and the good news is that Jesus deals with crowds a lot in the Bible. We're looking for this series at all the times when Jesus is working with crowds and dealing with crowds and spending time with crowds. Last week we talked about when Jesus showed up sort of to start ministry, someone had already been growing a crowd. It was John the Baptist who was talking about the one who was going to come, and he was developing a crowd, and people were starting to follow him. And then Jesus showed up, and he got baptized. When he got baptized, the clouds opened up. Heaven started speaking. God started speaking over him, and the whole crowd got to see this thing. But then the next thing Jesus did is he went off, and he went to be on his own. He spent some time in the wilderness. He spent some time being tempted, actually. It says that he was led by the Spirit to be tempted by Satan. And so he heads off and he goes to be tempted in the wilderness. And there Satan sort of puts a bunch of things in front of him and says, what about this? Do you want this? If you you can trade me this for this. You know, it's like a trading card system or something. Just give me your eternity. I'll give you mine. And Jesus is like, no. And he keeps pushing him back till eventually he overcomes Satan. And it says angels minister to him, and then Jesus is ready for ministry. He's been baptized. The crowd saw this moment. It's like, wow, look what happened. Something just took place, and Jesus, like God talked, and it was wild and amazing. And then he went off, and he was on his own. But Jesus was overcoming Satan. He comes back and says, okay, now ministry's about to start. Jesus knew that the crowd was about to develop. He knew that his power was about to start moving. People's lives were about to be changed. Healings were about to happen. People would start to all of a sudden follow him and want to see more and take part in more. The crowds were about to come. But Jesus wanted to do one thing before the crowds came. He wanted to sort one thing out before the crowds came. He's now ready for ministry. The crowds are about to come because he's about to reveal himself to people in healing. But first he had to do this. Matthew 4, 18 to 22. It says, as Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come follow me, Jesus said. And I will send you out to fish for people. At once they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Before Jesus is ready to deal with the crowds, he first gets a group of friends, a group of people who are actually going to do ministry with him. The crowds are going to be impressed by him. He's looking for someone to invest with him, someone to pour out their hearts, pour out their lives, to start moving forward, to start taking on the world, to start reaching people. And so he's gathering people that are going to be his friends in that process. He goes and gets these four guys, and then he gets 12 more. And he says, I need some people who are going to carry this afterwards, because there's going to come a point when I'm no longer here. There's going to come a point when the crowds are no longer here. And I need some people who are going to say, I'm still here, and I'm standing in this, and I'm going to continue to move this thing forward. What Jesus started, I'm going to be part of moving forward after that. Jesus knew something. He knew that a crowd was not enough for someone's faith to grow. He knew that a crowd wasn't enough for someone to grow as deep as they're meant to grow, for someone to become all that they're meant to become, for someone to have the strength that they're meant to have to live the life that he's called them to live. The crowd is not enough. And sometimes we think just getting in the crowd should do us, you know? Phew, I'm in the crowd, it's exciting, it feels like lots is going on. I show up to church and I see miracles maybe, or I hear a good sermon maybe, or this great thing happens maybe, and wow, I'm feeling inspired and excited, and look all that's happening and look all that's going on, and I'm so glad to be a part of it. I'm part of the crowd and I'm feeling in the crowd, and that's so great. But who knows that crowds easily come and easily go. And Jesus lives his life with crowds. He had up to 15,000 people following him at a time. That's like an entire hockey arena. Imagine that. Jesus, he's no megaphone, no like big loudspeakers, no jumbotron, no nothing, no lights, no sound. He's just walking around. 15,000 people are wandering after him. And he turns and teaches them. I don't know how he did that. Loud voice, I guess. But he's wandering around, and when he dies, there's no one. There's basically no one. Everyone's deserted him. The crowd deserted him, and Jesus says, I need to draw some people in who are going to be with me when everyone else deserts me. I need to draw some people in who are going to carry this forward when everyone else decides that it's not as exciting anymore. It's not as flashy anymore. It's not as refreshing anymore. I don't want to be part of it anymore. It's not as fun anymore, because Jesus maybe says something that offended someone, or Jesus maybe did something that someone didn't like, or someone just starts to miss their old life, or whatever it is, and the crowd can start to dwindle and the crowd can start to move away. And Jesus said, I want some people who are going to journey with me, who I can pour into, who I can build relationship with, who I can develop, so that when that happens, they're going to stand strong and they're going to be okay. I think we need that. I think we need that in our lives. I think we often feel like Christianity is just about sitting in the crowd. And so we don't really create great relationships. I don't know if you know this or not, but Sunday morning isn't the best place to develop a long-term relationship. Some of you try. You know, you show up as a single to church. You go, hey, relationship time. It's ready. As for small groups, we have small groups for that. We don't. We do have a single small group. It is starting. It's not just for dating. It's for seeking the Lord. Anyways. I don't know if you know it, but just showing up on a Sunday and seeing a whole bunch of faces and checking out everyone and seeing what's going on, you're not all of a sudden going to have deep relationships with everyone. Those are shallow relationships. Those are ones where you wave and shake a hand and say hello, and then that's that. But faith doesn't grow just in that. Faith doesn't grow just in what's exciting and moving in the crowd. Faith needs relationships that are deeper, that are accountable, that are honest, that are real. Faith needs relationships where people can call you out on the stuff that you're doing, or call you up to the purpose that you're supposed to be living. Faith needs that. I can remember the first time that I got called out of the crowd. I was a young guy, and many of you have heard of this one. There's this one particular influential person in my life from, you know, my grade 6 to grade 8, that sort of season in my life. There's this one guy that really invested in me, and I got to do lots of different things with him. He was my Sunday school teacher. He was like 6 feet 6 inches tall, and sort of wide too. Like he was just a big, like, guy. It was just, there was something big about his personality. He had a big voice. He was just a big guy. And I can remember I was a crowd dweller, that's for sure, when I was a churchgoer when I was a kid. My mom and I, we'd come in the back door to the auditorium, and we'd come in the back door, and then we'd look, and we'd go back further until we were sitting at the very back row. Every Sunday, I sat back row. That was where I sat, right back there. Very back, and as far back as we could get, so no one would notice us. Church ends, we walk out. And that's sort of where we were at. But this guy started recognizing something in me. He started wanting to call something out in me and started wanting to challenge me a little bit. So I remember him even praying for me this one time. And I'm in a group of other people my age, and he's our leader. And he says, "Lord, I just see something in these guys. And would you just allow them to grow in their leadership? I just see something special, especially in Evan." And he's saying that in his prayer, especially in Evan. I'm, "Oh, thank you. That's so nice." He says, "Especially in Evan, which I've seen when I'm playing video games with his brother." I'm like, "What? You're allowed to say video games in prayer? It's the best." And so he's talking about me in his prayers amongst these people. And he starts calling me out like Jesus was doing to his disciples. He starts separating me. He starts putting a different kind of expectation on me, a different kind of belief in me, a different kind of accountability on me. He starts pulling that out. And so I was like, I received that. I liked that. That was nice to have him pray that way for me. But then this one Sunday came, and I was sitting in the back row where I liked to sit and where I was comfortable to sit, being part of the crowd, listening to the sermon. And he was where he normally was, which was in the middle of the center aisle, dancing. Yes, dancing. And he wasn't like a I don't know. It wasn't small movements. Okay, it was like there. You watched out, right? Like, I don't know what it was, like something fancy. Like, there's some mix of karate, hip hop. Like, who knows what was going on? One way or another, you just stay out of the way. We just know that for him. But he'd be moving there and dancing the songs, and we'd all sort of be in the crowd, sort of watching the sermon or watching what God was going to do, and definitely watching what was happening over there because that guy's crazy. But he'd be dancing and going for it, but I liked him. I was learning to be accountable to him. He had prayed for me. He had started calling me out. I had felt it. And so this day, he's dancing and doing his thing, and I remember because I'm standing in church. He's doing his dancing. I'm not noticing him in that moment, and he says, "Evan." I'm like, I knew what he wanted right away. So what? It's the worst. He wasn't looking for me to go get him a water, you know. And I sort of look away for a while. It's like, "Evan." Now he's getting distracted. "Evan." I'm like, yeah, what? He goes, "You got to come out and dance with me." And I'm like, "No." I sit in the back row in the crowd. This is where I belong. I've sat here. My mom's taught me to sit here for my whole life. By the way, my mom sits second back row in the balcony in the church that she lives in right now, or that she's part of right now. She doesn't live there. So he calls me out. He says, "You got to come dance." I'm like, no. He's like, yeah. And he just grabs me. Like I said, he's got long arms. I was on the other side of the pew. And he says, "Come on out." So I come out there, and I'm feeling ultra awkward, ultra weird, ultra strange. Just doesn't feel right to me. I'm supposed to sit in the crowd. And he just starts doing his funky dance going. And I'm like this, like, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to handle this situation. Everyone's looking at us because they're like, "Ooh, I wonder if he's going to dance as crazy as that guy." I'm like, And then he says to me at the end of the song, that was all I did. I didn't like do his moves. I just sort of like kept it all simple and quiet and small. And he, at the end of the song, he goes, "You've got a passion for Jesus." I remember him grabbing me. "You've got a passion for Jesus. Grab a seat." And I'm like, "What?" Like, that doesn't look like passion. If I saw someone dancing like this in church, I wouldn't be like, oh, come on, fired up. Look at what's happening in church. Revival's coming because that person doing this move. You know, I wouldn't think that, but he says, you got a passion for Jesus. And I remember from that point on that every time I saw him, he was asking me, how's your faith? What's God teaching you? What are you learning now? What's going on now? Remember, you've got that passion. Remember, he's called you to something. Remember something. Every time I saw him, I felt like I better be ready to tell him what God was doing in my life, what was happening in me, what was going on with me. See, he all of a sudden became accountability for me. We started walking in relationship. He became the guy who wanted to know what it, like, it wasn't like God wouldn't have moved without him, but I sometimes would have forgotten it. I would have not paid attention to it. I wouldn't have necessarily noticed it until he starts saying, do you see it? Can you recognize it? Do you see what's happening? Do you remember when he did that? Keep walking in it. Keep walking in it. Keep walking in it. Keep dancing in it. And, you know, do this. Keep going for it. Keep after it. And all of a sudden, relationship with this leader changed the way I saw God. Change the way I believed in God. Change the way I believed in my relationship with God. Everything shifted because of relationship with this guy. Jesus knew that. Jesus knew that a crowd could all see one thing and then the next day talk themselves out of what they just saw. He knew that everyone could see him baptized and heaven open up and speak over him, and the crowd could just as easily in the next few minutes say, what that was? Was that really a thing? No, I think that was a thunder or something. It was a weird day. We were all tired. We're out in the wilderness, and we're starting to act like crazy John. Like, oh, let's just leave that one alone. Probably didn't really happen. Right? Everyone, yeah. Okay, it didn't really happen. A crowd can throw things out. They didn't have film of it, right? They didn't have their cameras out to notice it. They could have just left that alone. But Jesus knows that when you've got a few people who are reminding you of it, a few people who see it with you, a few people who say, no, that wasn't, this is the real deal. This is actually something. This has taken place in your life. This, oh no, we heard God speak to you. Oh no. We know that you had that moment. Oh no, we know what God has called you to. When you have that in your life, faith has a chance to grow. When you move from beyond just being impressed in the crowd, when you move beyond just being excited about what Jesus is doing, beyond just being excited about what's happening right there. See, the crowd's a great place to come to be impressed, but life change happens when you start to invest. The crowd's a great place to come to be impressed, but life change happens when you start to invest, when you start to let relationship take place with someone, when you start to invest your soul with someone, bare your soul a little bit, open up about yourself, take on someone else's burden and let them share yours. All of a sudden, life change starts to happen. Well, it was impressive to be part of the crowd and something was happening that was exciting to watch. It's not the being impressed that does it. It's the investment that we put in that all of a sudden starts to change our lives. And so Jesus actually has all the crowd and then he has 12 disciples. But beyond his 12 disciples, he has three favorites. I know you think Jesus doesn't have favorites. He does. You might be one of them. I don't know. I can't promise anything. He's got three disciples. He says, you guys are going to be with me, not just in the closed door meetings, but in the closed door meetings. You guys are going to be with me in the hardest times. You're going to be with me in the times where I need you, where I want you by my side. You're going to be with me in a few key moments where I'm going to give you a vision into who I am that you can hold on to together. And you're going to have to remind one another of it. Because down the road, I'm going to be gone and so will the crowd be gone. But I'm going to have empowered you to change the world and build the church. And so when I have done that, I'm going to need you to remind each other of what I have showed you and what I have revealed to you. And what you've experienced with me, but you're going to need to be in it together. And so he grabs Peter and James and John, and he brings them to a few special places with him. So here's the spots that he goes. In Matthew 9, 18 to 19, and then 23 to 26, says, while he was still saying this, this is Jesus, a synagogue leader came and knelt before him and said, my daughter has just died. Imagine that. Imagine that moment for a second. Imagine what his disciples thought. Why are you ruining this good moment by telling us that? Why are you bringing that to us right now? Like, that's some heavy stuff. But he says this, my daughter has just died, but come and put your hand on her and she will live. Jesus got up and went with him, and so does his disciples. So the 12 disciples jump in with Jesus. Oh, okay, let's go. Let's go. This is going to be interesting. This feels like a bit of a stretch, but okay, let's try it out. Let's see what happens with Jesus. It says, when Jesus entered the synagogue leader's house and saw the noisy crowd and people playing pipes, he said, go away. I like that. Sometimes I like Jesus just having a little bit more to him. He walks into a room and they're all mourning. They're all crying. They're all figuring out how to mourn. They'd bring in groups to come and mourn. They've got these pipers. They're specialist pipers. Hey, make sure you play the real sad song and, you know, let's mourn over the situation. They come in and Jesus comes in the door and says, hey, go away. All you who have been brought here to mourn, go away. This isn't the time for you anymore. He says, the girl is not dead, but asleep. And they laughed at him. I think that's probably the moment when Jesus said, this is one of those moments. I need Peter, James, and John here. I don't need the whole crowd here right now. I don't want the whole 12 here right now, because there's going to come a point down the road when Peter, James, and John, who are trying to build the church, as me as the cornerstone, me as the foundation, later on when they're trying to do that, people will laugh at them. I want them to see me handle that now. So that situation happens. They laugh at him, and then I love this. Right after that, it says, after the crowd had been put outside. Does anyone wonder what that looked like? You know? Jesus comes in and says, go away. Ha, ha, ha. You know, what does it mean to be put outside? I just wish I got to see it, you know. Now you've been, thank you for being put outside. Bye-bye, you know. They were put outside. And in a different version, Luke 8:51, Luke describes it this. He says, when he arrived at the house of Jairus, he did not let anyone go in with him except Peter, John, and James, and the child's father and mother. Peter, John, James, come on in. So they've come to the place with all the disciples. The crowd is kind of, we don't hear about the crowd, but they show up and there's this new crowd and they're saying, oh, she's dead, she's done, there's no hope. And Jesus says, go away and I'll help you. And out they go. Then they head out and he goes, okay, disciples, what do we do here? No, sorry, I need Peter, James, and John. I need my favorites with me. You know, I need that close crew with me. I need the ones who need their faith developed so much that down the road, they're going to talk about this. They're going to share about this. They're going to dream about this. They're going to rely on each other's memory of this moment to propel their faith forward. And so Peter, James, John, you're going to be needed. Come in with me. Come in and see what I'm about to do. Come in and see how I respond when people laugh at me and say that I cannot accomplish it. Come on in, Peter, James, and John, because you're going to face the same thing someday. I don't know if Jesus at that point was picturing way down the road in the book of Acts when Peter and John stand before the lawmakers of the land, and the lawmakers of the land are saying, stop using the name of Jesus. And Peter and John say, we cannot stop talking about what we have seen and heard. No, we have seen too much together. It's not just me. It's not just him. Like, we saw it. We were there. We were invited into that room. Like, we saw a dead girl get up. We saw him kick all those people out. We were there. We just can't stop. We were there, right? This is what happened, right? Yeah, it was. We can't stop it. The crowd is all gone at that point. And the other crowd members, by the way, if you read through the gospel, have seen Jesus raise the dead to life. But where are they? What's the difference? It's that this relationship, it's that God put them in a group to stand together, to remind each other of things, because we get forgetful real quick. So he says, I need you in a group. After the crowd had been put outside, he went in and took the girl by the hand. She got up. News of this spread throughout most throughout all that region. A little later on, in Matthew 17, 1 to 2 and 5, says, after 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. Again, he says, disciples, you stay there. I'm going to take my three. I'm going to take my small group. I'm going to take the ones who I need to grow in incredible ways. I'm going to take the ones who are going to rely on each other, because some of you are actually going to fall away. He led them up a high mountain by themselves. There he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as light. A bright cloud covered them, and a voice from the cloud said, this is my son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him. Does that remind you of anything? When you hear those words spoken, if you were here in church last week, it should remind you of last week. Last week, the clouds opened up as well. Last week, God spoke over Jesus as well. Last week, he said, this is my son in whom I am well pleased as well. We talked about that just last week. That whole crowd that saw that are all going to fall away from Jesus. But these guys who are hearing that just as a private showing are going to stick around. Why? Because Jesus put them together. He said, be together. You're going to need to remind each other. You can't just rely on the momentous moments in the crowd. You can't just rely on the great next Christian high that's going to happen. You can't just wait till the next worship night and hope that something stirs your heart again and you're going to feel good and it's going to feel awesome and now you're back to faith. What happens when the worship night's not here? What happens when the crowd sways and it's not here anymore? What happens when the preacher's not on and not hitting the mark in that moment? What happens in those times? You need to have a group of people who are saying, but remember what God did in your life and your life and your life. Remember what he stirred up in me then. Remember the dream that he poured into me then. I'm holding on to it. And while the crowd may have dispersed, we're going to stand here and believe together. Matthew 26, 36 to 38 says, then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane. This is where he's about to pray because he's going to be taken to be killed. And he said to them, sit here while I go over there and pray. He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me. So Jesus, again, in this big moment in his life, says, disciples, come on over here. You come this close. Okay, you eight, you go over there. You three, come with me. Peter, James, John. And let's be real here. This isn't because Peter, James, and John were you know, the model of powerful faith and prayer. I mean, they're about to fall asleep when Jesus asked them to pray. These are his closest buds, and they're really not very reliable. But Jesus says, I'm going to do a work in you. I want you to see me here. I want you to experience this moment with me here, because you're going to have to face this as well. There are going to come times when you're going to have to pray this way as well. There are going to become times when you have to overcome what I'm trying to overcome right now as well. And you're going to need together to stand and be mighty people who encourage and push and hold accountable one another, because you're going to remember what I did. You're going to remind each other of it. Worship team, you can come on up. You know, this is why we so value small groups in this church. We're calling this Small Group Sunday, which really just means we want to make it really easy for you to try to sign up for a small group. There's a lot of people who think faith is a personal journey. Faith is a personal journey. There are aspects of faith that are a personal journey. But Jesus never seems to create that model, saying as long as you have your prayers in your bedroom, you're good. But it's always, why does he address a crowd? Because a crowd is coming to know him. He addresses people more often than person. He says, over all of you, I want all of you to walk in this way. I want all of you to behave in this way. I want all of you to walk in this specific plan for your life. I want all of you to experience these purposes that I have for you. And he pours it out and says, here's, you know, walk together, carry each other's burdens, lift one another up when they need to be lifted up. And don't just stand in a crowd together, but experience relationship with each other. Because the crowd is easily swayed. If you think the crowd is not easily swayed, open a history book or the Bible. The crowd was all in with Jesus. What? Look at him. 15,000 following him around when he crossed the sea to get away from them. Okay, we'll walk around the sea. 15,000 without food. These people were in. They wanted to see what Jesus was going to do. And then all of a sudden, something shifts. And they're like, oh, no, never mind. No, nothing. But Peter, James, and John are standing together saying, how can we deny it? We were there. I guess, maybe in that big crowd moment, maybe that was a whole bunch of excitement. I guess I could have been, but guys, it was only the six of us in that room with that girl, and she got up. I just don't think I can turn away from that. And guys, remember what happened in that time. Peter, you remember? Peter, come on. Peter, you remember that moment when Jesus' face got all shiny and stuff, and he started, we were there, right? Like, that happened, right, Peter? Yeah. Peter, you remember what you felt that day? You remember the words that you were saying to Jesus? Like, we were all there. There was something that stirred your heart to say, I will go with you wherever you want to go. I will do whatever you do. I will go to prison for you. I'll go to death for you. Peter, you remember that, right? Yeah, you were there. I was there. We were chatting. We were all excited, and we were going to do this today. No, we're still in. We're still going. And maybe the crowd isn't, but we are. And maybe everyone else is saying no, but we can't say no because we just know too much. And we're together in it. And you need someone like that in your life. You need people like that in your life. You need someone who says, I know you. No, I know you. I know who you are. I know what you're up to. I know what your dreams are. I know what you felt. I know what you've experienced. I know where you normally get afraid and run away from Jesus. I know what commitments you're afraid to make and what things that you feel like you easily can make. I know you. I know what you've faced. I know who usually gets in the way of your dreams. I know who usually pulls you away from your faith. I know you. But remember, we're here together. We're pushing together. You can't give up so easily because I won't let you. You need someone like that in your life. You need a small group. And so for us as a church, we recognize for sure there's a crowd here and developing. And it's a growing crowd and there's more people to this crowd. But just so you know, as the crowd grows, I have, and in all sincerity, less ability to meet with and be with every individual who's part of the crowd. Nor do I think the Bible ever taught us that one pastor should make sure that they meet with every single person and follow all that. No, that's we're a crowd. And so how do we take care of every person? How do we help every person grow in faith? Well, my role is then to create as much opportunity for you to find a small group so that the church of God, not the pastor of God, but the church of God can walk with you and move with you and grow with you and strengthen you. And so we create space for small groups. And we create spaces in service to talk about them. So our response sort of to today is just that. I want to make it very clear how you could get yourself in a small group today if you wanted to. So I have someone who's been working very hard to make it very easy for you to get into a small group. So I would like to invite up my friend and brother-in-law, Matt Morrison. There's a microphone for you right there, Matt. There he is. Yeah, sure. We can clap for him. All right, Matt, you've been working hard. You've been putting in some effort because you value the idea of small groups and you want to see all of these people in one. So tell us about that.
Yeah, for sure. Just to quickly echo what Evan's saying there, part of our journey was we actually moved over from Vancouver a few years ago and we were part of a large church then. And it was so clear right away to us that if we wanted to be connected, the large church wasn't going to be able to give us that. Just showing up on a Sunday wasn't going to do much for us in terms of people knowing us and us knowing others. And so this was part of the DNA there. And I love that this is part of the DNA here, which is that if you want to connect, that being part of a small group is how that's going to happen. It's hard for it to just happen on Sunday. So I was excited to be part of this announcement today and part of the team that's putting together how to make this kind of stuff easy for you so that it's simple to connect. And so that's some of the logistics I wanted to talk about today is how do we do that? The first thing we've done is a lot of you have heard about thisweek.ngate.ca. We kind of gave that a bit of a facelift special for today where we've actually listed out every single possible group that you can be a part of at this church. And so there's a slide here where we'll just see that. But you could all pull out your phones right now. We've got pastoral permission to...
Phones in church.
If you're not a part of a small group, that's a great way to kind of just take a look, see what's out there, see what's being offered, and see what's there. Now, if you don't have a phone or that's not something you can quickly do, we're going to have a team out in the lobby after the service with a bunch of our small group leaders that'll be out there with this iPad to kind of walk you through it and get you signed up right away. One quick point I want to make here, too, is a bunch of you are going to be in small groups already and might be thinking this doesn't apply to me. But at the end of the day, the most powerful way for us to build community and make these connections is for invitation. So if you're sitting here and you're already in a small group, I want you to just feel if the Lord's putting someone on your heart today and said, I should invite them out to our small group because I want them to be in that community. It's even neat just in between services, hearing the testimony of how many people say, yeah, small group was it for me. That was what turned it around for me 20, 30 years ago. That's what brought me into the church because someone invited me out. So
yeah.
Just a little challenge there for us who have actually felt that transformation.
Yeah.
And so the final way is if you don't, you know, maybe you got something to think about here and aren't sure exactly how to do it, we'll leave those up for a couple days, but also you can always go to the website and just through the Connect tab and small groups, you'll see it right there. So you'll be able to jump in and sign up for a group that way. So hopefully that makes it easy.
Awesome. That is so good. Thank you, Matt. Thank you, Matt, for working hard at that. I don't know if you pulled your phone out. I do have mine here, and it just looks amazing. I'm so thankful that there's an easy way. There's going to be plenty of challenge. There's going to be plenty of glitches. There's going to be times where you wish there was a group at this time and it's not currently. Probably what's going to happen is the groups that we currently have are going to get too full and people are going to say, what are we supposed to do? And then we develop leaders and next time we get to promote that we have twice as many small groups as we have right now. And all of a sudden more are getting involved. And that's the goal. That's the dream. But what we can't do as a church is grow the crowd and never grow our groups. Grow the ability to put on, you know, this moment and push and try to see Jesus together. If Jesus thought there was something important, because Jesus didn't need those disciples. He had just beat Satan and then he started getting his disciples. You know, he had just won. And then he starts gathering disciples. So he wanted to pull people into a team, into a group, and help them walk together. Otherwise, he would have just done everything in front of the crowd. He would have done everything for the crowd, but he said, no, it's important that you are together in this, and you walk with me in this, and then you grow together as a group. And so we want that for you. We want to see that for you. You may say, I don't need a small group right now. I'm doing fine. My faith is good. I'm feeling healthy. I'm feeling strong. And that may be the case right now. But you know, when it's really hard to find a small group is the time when you really need a small group. When you're really desperate for a small group is when it's hard to start relationships. It's hard to start relationships when you're in a desperate state in your life. Because quite honestly, it's hard for someone to welcome someone brand new into their life who's desperate that way. It's much easier to start a relationship when you don't need it. And you can develop and eat meals together. And start to pray in the good times. Start to enjoy one another in the good times. Start to serve together in the good times. Start to reach the city in the good times. Start to do all of that when it's not super needed. And then all of a sudden, when you get sick, or your kids get sick, or you lose your job, or you're struggling financially, or you have kids and you have no one to take care of them, or whatever it might be, at that point, you're going to wish that you had developed some close relationships. some friendships. And so the church, our church, is saying, we are going to try our best to make room for that. We have currently on that list 22 leaders who are saying, we're going to try our best to do that as well. We're going to try our best to create space for that. And I love that even just now, as I finished the first service, I got so many testimonies of people saying, it was small group that changed me. It was small group that made me recognize who Jesus was. I heard some incredible testimonies this morning about just being in small groups and what it meant for people. And so I want you to be in one. One last story. A few years back, I was part of a church, and there was this small group in our church that actually had grown quite large, and most of the people from it were from India. And so they came, and they were part of our church. They all worshiped with us, but then they did small group together. And I went to that small group a few times. It was good fun. It was life-giving, and it was good food. Hallelujah. But as time went on, one of the key leaders in that group got sick. She got cancer. She had two young kids, both in the youth group that I was leading at the time. She was in the hospital quite quickly and had a battle for, I think, about 6 months with cancer. And her kids were distraught. How do we do this? Her husband didn't know what to do with this. And the pastoral team, you know, we did what we could, and we stopped in the hospital. We came to see her, you know, and tried to visit with her husband as best we can. But the amazing thing is that she never didn't have someone beside her bedside the entire time on her way to her death. It was because of her small group, where they set up a schedule together and they created moments, and they all just made time. They all would pray for her. This became the focus of their small group for like 6 months. We're just going to be all about this. We're going to serve her as she's weakening. We're going to pray for healing. We're going to believe for it. We're going to take care of the kids. We're going to take care of the husband. We're going to provide meals. And they looked after and looked after, and eventually she passed away. I remember talking to them and sort of coming to the husband saying, I'm really sorry about this. And he said, I've never felt so connected to a group of people in my life. I've never felt so cared for. I've never felt so supported. And as a pastor, I was like, yes, the church is here. You know, the church is meeting here. I want that for you. And we're going to try to create space for that for you. And so thisweek.ngates.ca, get yourself signed up. If you don't know how to do that or don't have a phone, you can move into the lobby and do that. I'm guessing we're going to have such a big swell that I'm going to be calling people and say, we need some more leaders. Let's develop something. But I want you guys in small groups and connecting with people, because God is going to move here, and God is going to move in your life, and God is going to move amidst this crowd and amidst this church. And you need people in your life who, when you go home after, you get to say, do you remember it? I saw it. What does it mean for you? What does it mean for me? What does it mean for us? Let's do this together. Let's go. Let's chase after it. So I want you in a small group. I want you to be taken care of. I want you to be known, and I want you to be missed if you're not here on a Sunday or if you're not there midweek. I want you to impact this city with a group of people. I want you to take care of this city. Take care of the church. Take care of the elderly. Take care of the widow and the orphan. In a group of people, I want you to do it. Jesus had that in mind in his time, and I believe still does today. So let me just pray for you, and then we're going to wrap up. Lord, thank you that you stir our hearts. Thank you, God, for Peter, James, and John. Lord, that this little crew that you seem to pull closely. And Lord, thank you that we move into the early church, and these are key players in believing in the face of persecution, in the face of the crowd turning on Jesus. In that time, they discovered faith that they didn't even know they had, partly because of the Holy Spirit moving on them, and partly because of where you took them while you were with them. Thank you, Jesus, that you developed a small group. You showed us how. You showed us how to walk with people, encourage people, and take them to the places that are scariest and darkest, even for you. Help us to do that with one another while we're in good times, so that we'll have them in the bad times. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody who believes it says, amen. 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 Well, have a great week this week. You should come on back next week. We're going to talk about Three's a Crowd, and we're going to talk especially about how Jesus taught the crowd. It's going to be a really fun time. Bring someone with you. Have a great week. See you later.